31% of the students scored proficient in both English language arts and math on grades 3 through 8 testing. So that really was this kind of wake-up call to all of us to say, all right, we have work ahead. So obviously, the Common Core is going to be the discussion that will be top of mind as we enter into the new school year. Mostly what people are going to want to be looking for is, where are the curriculum modules that are supposed to be in place that will align what we teach with these higher standards? That'll be a big issue. They will also be thinking about the tests that will come up in the later part of the year. I think one of the questions that a lot of people are going to be talking about is, are our kids going to be prepared to do better on those tests this coming year? And we've just done a recent poll that suggests that board members believe that they will. So we're happy about that. We also know that a big issue this year, because of the proficiency levels that were gauged on this original testing, will be Academic Intervention Services, AIS as it's called. These are remedial education programs that are made available to kids who are needed extra time and extra help, extra resources. And because of the drop in scores, there's a lot more kids who might justifiably qualify for AIS, and that's a big cost item.
One of the criticisms I heard when these test results came out is that the students were taking tests on material that hadn't been taught yet. Is that true?
Well, you know, I'm not the one who would tell you yes or no, but I do know that they were slow getting the curriculum modules out. They kind of dribbed and drabbed out. To what extent the teachers had the time and the professional development to prepare to use the curriculum, to what extent the students were exposed to that curriculum prior to testing. I've heard time and time again the same thing you've heard, that wasn't the case, that there were shortcomings, and I have to believe that's true.
You mentioned this intervention service. Could you tell us more about this? Is this after-school help, tutoring? How does it work?
Yeah, it can be a lot of different things. It's primarily after school. It is offering specialized, personalized educational programs for kids who have been some of the lowest scorers on tests and in other capacities, other measurements. Primarily, it's been aimed at those who scored either a level one, which is the lowest, farthest from proficient, or level two, which is less than proficient. Because so many kids have moved possibly from levels 3 and 4 into levels 1 and 2, there's a big question mark as to whether or not we're going to have to expand dramatically our programs for academic intervention services and the very expensive attendant costs that go with that.
How expensive?
Very. Because what you're doing is you're expanding the school day. You are probably limiting the class sizes or the attention paid by individual adults, teachers, to small groups of students, maybe even on an individual level. It's an expensive thing. Is it worth it? Absolutely. We think that we can do great things when we have kids who have participated in AIS, but because of the movement towards these higher standards, we're worried that there are going to be enormous number of kids who are going to need additional AIS services. Now, the department is talking about allowing for less requirements, whereby school districts could say, we are only going to make AIS services available to level one and not level one and level two. But now we have this school boards and educators caught in the middle where they're going to have to explain to parents, even though your kid is a level two, something less than proficient, we're not in a position, nor are we obligated, to offer that child additional services. And that could be a very, very difficult discussion.
The 2% property tax cap, it's been in effect now for a couple of years. You're getting used to it. I guess the districts are getting used to it. It seems to be it's going to be the law now. How does this affect districts and the school boards as a new school year begins?
Well, getting used to it is probably true, but we also have early indications that the inflation rate, that is one of the calculations within the tax cap, is actually down from last year. We've always heard about the 2% tax cap. Well, in fact, the inflation rate is probably closer to 1.6. And so we may even find that the cap as it is calculated, will be even tighter this year than it was last year. And if that's the case, if we are actually increasing costs, and we've seen that certainly with pension costs, now all of these academic intervention services, healthcare costs, energy costs, special education costs, all going up, and we're going to have this even stricter cap on what we can raise locally, that's going to put us in a real squeeze.
President Obama came to upstate New York last week to talk about the cost of higher education. Do you wish that maybe the president would take a look at the cost of local education and take a bus tour on that?
Well, we always would like to have the president paying attention to what we're doing at the pre-K through 12 level. I will tell you, though, there are a lot of people who are saying today that all of this having to do with Common Core, with the high-stakes testing, standardized testing that we're engaged in, with the annual professional performance review, which is a teacher and principal evaluations linked to student performance, most of this emanated from Washington, from the Obama Arne Duncan administration, and there are those who would say, you know, we're tired of using all these local resources to actually implement somebody else's agenda. So yes, we would like to have maybe attention paid to what it does cost for us to provide these services, but I'm not so sure people are looking to Washington for more attention.
Doesn't there, though, have to be some sort of national education standard? If each state had its own mishmash, its own patchwork of standards, you don't know what you'd be getting, would you?
Well, you know, this is probably where we're heading, to where there will be this Common Core is what this is. It is leading to a set of standards that have already been voluntarily adopted in 45 states in the District of Columbia. Although, because of the experiences of states like New York that have been first out of the box with Common Core testing, we're already hearing about some states that are backing away and saying, well, maybe those standards are not really what we want to be leaning towards. To what extent we should have national standards, to be determined. We do have to compete with students from other countries who have had extraordinary educational opportunities. We indeed are falling behind on a number of measurements that are legitimate and important, and that's really crucial for us. So, and we have a lot of movement between states of students. So we don't want to have a situation where a student is moving from Alabama to New York and is so far behind because of the experience they've had there. We would rather be able, have it such that there would be movement around the states and students would be prepared wherever they go.